Let's open with hymn number 208.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserved Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that of thine ineffable grace, for the sake of thy Son, thou hast given us the holy gospel and hast instituted the holy sacraments, that through the same we may have comfort and forgiveness of sins. We beseech thee, grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe thy word, and through the holy sacraments day by day establish our faith, until at last we obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Easter is found in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, the 22nd through the 31st verse. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said unto him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 John, the 4th through the 10th verse. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God that he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." Here ends our epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Hallelujah. The gospel for this day is found in the 20th chapter of John, the 19th through the 31st verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord.
So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 210. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 31. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be unto you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly did Thomas many other signs in the presence of his Truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by the witness of thy Spirit and the water and the blood, plant in our hearts faith to believe in thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we might believe and be saved. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, the word faith is not well understood, especially today, where many religions misuse it and apply the word to things that have nothing to do with faith. Even some religions which claim to be Christianity give the word faith a meaning that is wrong by any dictionary definition, much less the way the Bible uses it. You will find certain branches of Christianity, if they can even be called Christian, that define faith as a force, the force by which God created the universe. And then, to further distort what the Bible says, they say that words can contain this force and shape it. And therefore, if we have faith, then we can do what God has done and call things into being, even as God created the world, saying, Let there be. This is hogwash. God did not use faith to create the world. For one simple reason, because faith by itself is nothing at all. It has no power. It doesn't do anything. Does that mean that there is no power in faith? By no means. It is only that the power of faith is in the object of faith, not faith itself. The best definition in the Bible for the word faith can be found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is trust. It is to believe and to rely upon something so strongly. It is as if that thing is right in front of your eyes, even though you can see, hear, and feel nothing. Even though the thing you believe is but a promise that you may not even see in your own lifetime. Therefore, the same chapter in Hebrews goes on to tell us many things that our fathers did by faith. By faith, Abraham offered up his son Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead in order to keep his promise that God had given to him that through Isaac, Abraham would be the father of many nations, and indeed the Father of Christ. Last Sunday, we noted that when Jesus rose from the dead, nobody who heard of his resurrection believed the good news until they saw Jesus with their own eyes. In our sermon text, we have the most famous example of this with Thomas. But as we noted, Thomas was not different than the rest. For when the women came claiming to have seen Jesus alive, the disciples treated their report like idle tales. But now in the upper room in Jerusalem, with all the disciples gathered together along with Thomas, every doubt is put to rest. And all of them believe now that Jesus has risen. But Jesus has a word of rebuke and a word of promise. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus blesses all those who have faith in him, who believe the word which is preached to them, even though they cannot see it with their eyes. Therefore, the blessing which Jesus declares here is the blessing of faith, that generations yet unborn would hear his word, believe it, and be forgiven of all their sins. In the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, somewhere over 500 people saw Jesus in the flesh. But until Jesus comes again in all of his glory, those are the last living men and women ever to see Jesus. Now, 500 witnesses is an incredible number. But consider this. It was not long after this, within the space of 2 months, that the number of believers in Jesus dwarfed those 500. And in the years that followed, thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions would come to believe firmly in Jesus by his word, and none of them saw Jesus with their own eyes. None of them had any hard evidence of his life, suffering, death, and resurrection. They did not see, and yet they believed, and they were indeed blessed. By faith, their sins were forgiven. Since those days, the number has indeed grown to millions, and not a one of them has had the luxury of reaching out and touching the scars in Jesus' hands or thrusting their hand into his side. And yet they are not faithless, but believing. Now, how can this be explained? How was it that it went from 500 who only believed because they saw Jesus to millions who have not seen him and yet have believed? After all, people with mental disorders may indeed believe something seemingly impossible out of the blue with no evidence to support it, but rational people do not do this. We believe the sky is blue because we see it. We know a train is about to come because we can hear its whistle blowing. We know that there are billions of stars in the sky because we can look up with telescopes and estimate their number. But how can we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and still to this day forgives the sins of all who trust in him? Is it enough that it simply be written down, as of course it was in the Gospels? Well, the weekly world news reports all the time that aliens have landed and shaken hands with the president, and yet nobody believes them. If you were to find an ancient document claiming that Julius Caesar rose from the dead, would you believe that? No, you would not. It's clear that simply having a written testimony is not enough. Just because something is written does not mean that it can create and sustain faith. How then has it happened that millions of people both believe that Jesus rose from the dead and believe that he has personally forgiven them their sins? Because they have a rock solid and powerful witness, a witness that is still alive today, a witness that reaches right into the hearts of men and causes them to believe the words and promises of the Bible and to trust in Christ who is preached therein. 1 John 5:8 tells us that there are three such witnesses in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three witnesses agree in one. This witness is not the faulty and unreliable witness of men. It is the unshakable and powerful witness of God. God does not remain silent. He has not gone off into some far corner of the universe to sit back and watch and see what men are going to do. He is right here now, testifying of his Son, so that men might repent of their sins and believe on Jesus and be saved. In a court of law, a good and solid witness can make or break a case. Many matters have been confirmed or denied based upon such a testimony. The jury hears it, judges it credible, and believes it. Yet human witnesses can make mistakes, or they can have a bad memory. And even a credible and convincing witness sometimes doesn't convince the jury. Yet their testimony is still used for justice. But God's witness is perfect in every way. It is greater, more convincing, more powerful than anything men might say. It reaches right into our hearts and convicts us of the truth. 1 John 5, which we heard, continues, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." Only this can explain the existence of the Christian church today. The witness of God is still here among us in this world. Where is it active? It is in the Word, in baptism, and in the Lord's Supper. For those are the three witnesses of which 1 John 5:8 speaks. The Spirit is in the Word of God. Jesus said so. In our lesson, he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now there is the true word of faith, where the Spirit of God is alive and active. He does not just say, "Jesus died on the cross for your sins." He speaks to you and said, "I forgive you your sins." Jesus gave his disciples the ability to speak effectively in his name, forgiving or retaining the sins of men. He gave the disciples the Holy Spirit so that their words were not merely the words of men, but the words of God. 42 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples did just as Jesus said, gathered together in Jerusalem. They proclaimed with power and authority the coming and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The effect was tremendous. By their testimony, God reached into the hearts of thousands who heard and convicted them of their sins. 3,000 were added to the church that day by the second witness, the water of baptism. And the book of Acts tells us that those thousands continued to believe the apostles' teaching, and that they were united with one another in the breaking of bread, that is, in the Lord's Supper, where they received the third witness, the blood of Jesus which was shed for their sins. But it did not end with that generation, for our Lord Jesus graciously provided for the word, the water, and the blood to continue to bear witness in the world to the end of time. When Jesus said, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed," he did not only mean that generation who would hear the eyewitness testimony of the apostles, but every generation, including our own, who have not seen the risen Lord Jesus and yet believe on him and have their sins forgiven. But Paul asks, "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach it unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Luther translated that last verse of Romans 10, "Faith comes through preaching, and preaching through the word of God." And that is exactly what the text means, for the hearing is not just hearing sounds, but hearing the proclamation of God's word, even as Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? This is not a hypothetical question. Jesus knew that it was not enough that his word was true. It was not enough that his spirit was present in his word. And it was not enough that the words be written in a book. That word had to be preached. It had to be carried into the world and proclaimed to men. Or else it would simply molder on the shelves and be lost. And therefore, in his great wisdom, Jesus instituted the ministry of the word and sacraments. He said to his disciples, as my Father has sent me, I also send you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And notice how he spoke it. Not just that his word would sit there and remain, but that there would always be those actively going forward and either retaining the sins of the impenitent or actively forgiving those who repent. And so Jesus saw to it that generation after generation, his powerful word of faith would not just exist, but be proclaimed and produce much fruit. His spirit would have constant opportunity to work in that word and to convict men of their sins. Jesus saw you on that day when he sent his disciples into the world to forgive and retain sins. He saw you who are here today, and he made certain that his church would not fail, but would continue on to this day so that you might be saved. Generation after generation bearing children, not by natural birth, but by his word and sacraments, which work faith in the heart, generation after generation, until the end of the world. Praise Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. He is still here in the world, loving us and saving us from our sins by the testimony of his Spirit. Let us gladly hear his word when it is preached in his church, for there is our God, testifying of his Son Jesus and bidding us to be of good cheer, for our sins are forgiven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace,
who by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead didst declare him to be thy Son and our Savior, and who by the faithful testimony of the apostles hast given us assurance that our faith stands upon a most true and sure record. Grant us thy Spirit that our hearts may rest in thy truth. We thank thee for the gift of eternal life in thy Son. Preserve and defend us from all error, doubt, and unbelief, that we may hold fast to the profession of our faith. Save us from vain philosophies and worldly wisdom, and establish us in the truth of thy word. We lift up our hearts to thee in thanksgiving for thy word. Illumine us by its heavenly light, and instruct us by its saving truth, that we might bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Help us therein to find Jesus, our risen Lord. Lead us to rejoice in him, and grant that we may receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Breathe upon thy church that it may faithfully preach thy word and proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Enrich the schools of our churches that they may bring forth youth who walk in true faith and obedience to thy holy will. Hearken unto the inner yearnings of our heart which seek thy help and favor, and give us the assurance of thy mercy. And as we each must bear the cross, assure us that thou wilt not permit us to be tried above that we are able, but wilt strengthen us therein through the grace of Jesus Christ. Forgive now the sins of thy people. Strengthen the doubting and the faithless. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and the distressed. And as we go from this hallowed place this day, grant us all thy peace. All this we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
We sing hymn 196.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them all unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb, which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 204. Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.